recent years, considerable attention has focused on alternative energy sources. In Alaska, there is an abundant mineral that has the potential for development as an energy source. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Zeolites are abundant minerals in Alaska with an amazing variety of properties. These lightweight or colorless minerals are used as catalysts in petroleum refining, detergent additives, water softeners, soil conditioners, and odor retardants, among other uses. They can be found throughout Alaska, but are particularly accessible in the Talkeetna and Iliamna areas. Scientists at the Institute of Water Resources and Geology Geophysics Department have been studying zeolites to determine their energy storage capability. What is amazing is when these zeolites are heated, they release water. In the dry or hydrated state, the zeolites store energy. When moisture is added to the hydrated zeolites, heat is produced. Off-peak electricity can be stored using a heat storage radiator and zeolites. Other small-scale uses of zeolites as energy storage mechanisms include use in conjunction with wood stoves and saunas. Scientists believe large-scale use of the zeolites would be most cost-effective in agriculture. Crushed zeolites can be spread on land to condition the soil and are effective odor eaters. The Japanese, who also have an abundant supply of zeolites, are already using this amazing resource in agriculture. I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. More than 11,000 pages have been added to Russian-Alaskan history for Western researchers as a result of a recent acquisition by the Elmer Rasmussen Library. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. The Elmer Rasmussen Library of the University of Alaska Fairbanks recently acquired a microfilm collection of everything from diaries to paintings from an expatriate Soviet researcher now living in Paris. Leonid Shur had specialized in Russian-Alaskan history in the Soviet Union and had compiled and copied material from archives located throughout the Soviet Union. When he left that country, Shur was allowed to take his microfilm with him. It is believed 90% of the Shur collection is new to Western scholars because much of Shur's information was collected from Soviet archives located in cities off-limits to foreigners. The microfilms include copies of diaries, correspondence, paintings, and other publications. Copies from the K.T. Klebnikov archives, located in one of the off-limits cities, provide new insights into the Russian colonization efforts in northern America. Klebnikov served as second to the governor of Alaska when it was owned by the Russians. This renaissance in Russian-Alaskan studies is now being codified. A detailed guide to the collection is being prepared and will be completed in about a year. I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Alaskan fur farmers may soon have an extremely valuable new product if research leads to an improved artificial insemination process. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. For the first time in the United States, research is underway to perfect Scandinavian experiments in crossbreeding female Arctic and male red foxes to produce a Golden Island pelt. The pelt is 7 times more valuable than that of the red fox. As a result, fur farmers are excited about the possibility of breeding the golden fox. However, the two species do not breed naturally due to differences in behavior and seasonal fertility. In addition, what appears to be a straightforward process, artificial insemination is the major obstacle to large-scale production of the Golden Island pelt. A team of scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Arctic Biology is attempting to perfect the artificial insemination method. The chief objective of the current project is to determine a reliable indicator of the female's fertile time, which lasts approximately 48 hours. The Norwegians use a special insemination probe to deposit semen inside the female. The technique requires considerable skill, and operators there are specially trained and licensed to perform the process. At UAF, one female Arctic fox, loaned to the university, was unsuccessfully bred this spring. Scientists are not discouraged, however, and in Scandinavia, results of the program have been encouraging. Also on the positive side, litter sizes are considerably larger than either Arctic or red fox litters. Because the offspring are sterile, artificial insemination will continue to be an important key to producing the Golden Island pelt. I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. A popular area of research right now is the increasing CO2 content of the Earth, possibly warming the Earth. If this happens, areas such as Alaska that have considerable permafrost could be in for trouble. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Scientists at the Geophysical Institute of the University of Alaska Fairbanks are looking at the impact on permafrost if Alaska experienced a 3-degree warming. Although why the Earth is warming isn't fully understood, it is clear that areas with ice-rich ground and permafrost would be affected most dramatically. Since 1/5 of the land surface of the Earth is underlain with permafrost, the impact would be felt widespread in the polar regions. The average yearly air temperatures in Fairbanks have been warmer than the long-term mean during the past 6 years. And permafrost temperature profiles on Alaska's North Slope indicate the permafrost there has warmed by 2 or more degrees during the last century. So it seems we are warming up. From the Berks Range and north, thawing of permafrost would result in expansion or contraction of lakes, an increase of coastal erosion, and increased sea levels. But it would take nearly 2 centuries to totally thaw 25 meters of coarse-grained permafrost. However, in the discontinuous zone of permafrost, which is most of Alaska south of the Berks Range, permafrost could be expected to disappear. Thaw settlement resulting in large areas of thermal-karst topography, which has an uneven surface relief and often is swamp-like, would severely restrict human activity. Thaw settlement is also likely to alter drainage patterns of rivers and streams. Erosion of lake and reservoir shorelines and riverbanks can be expected to increase. Precipitation patterns and timing of freeze-up or break-up would affect agriculture, movement and survival of large mammals, perhaps even the reproductive cycle of the salmon. Scientists are urging continued research to provide regular monitoring of these conditions. I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Seals and other marine mammals which spend time in sea ice need to locate and maintain breathing holes. Water turbidity, Arctic winter darkness, and limited diving capability pose special problems. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. For the past 2 winters, scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Marine Science have been studying seals. One captive spotted seal, trained to wear a canvas jacket, to which a tether was attached, was used for the experiments that took place at a frozen gravel pit in the Fairbanks area. The pit was considered ideal because of its uniform size and shape and the absence of fish or animals. The seal was lowered into the water through prepared holes. Scientists found that the seal swam from hole to hole without the need for a reward system. This was surprising because the seal had been taken as a pup and had never functioned in a sea ice environment, yet instinctively knew what to do. The experiments determined that vision is most important to the seal's navigation capability. However, turbidity of water inhibited vision to 25 feet. When blindfolded, the seal depended on noise to swim to the breathing hole. In addition, this project discovered that the seal's vibrissae, or whiskers, play an important role in short-distance orientation. When the whiskers were covered, the seal bumped its head around the opening several times before coming out. It is speculated that the animal is receiving low-frequency vibrations through the whiskers. As a result of this project, scientists at UAF are recommending future studies to determine the significance of preliminary findings that in darkness and turbid water, the introduction of noises at certain frequencies and volumes can cause confusion for a seal seeking a breathing hole. I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM.